You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 3 o'clock on this Wednesday, April 23rd, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Pump Day.
There you go. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program. If you normally listen to the fantastic Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon at this time, have no fear. She's still around. Just 2 hours later, things shifted around a little bit as far as scheduling. Starting today, we are now on from 2 until 4. Maggie joins us, joins the network then from 4 until 6. The complete 2 hours of the Maggie Dawn Show follows us starting at 4 o'clock. And then it'll be Pete Schwabba and Nightlight from 6 until 8. Coming up in this hour, a little What's Worse for You. And then at the bottom of the hour, Matt Solomon is here from Cracked.com talking about the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live, the history thereof, and how the 50th anniversary is shaping up. Trigvi Olsen is going to be back in just one moment, but first it is, by the way, Zommers, now that we're doing officially, technically, 3 o'clock is drive time. Some people going to pick up kids or whatnot. Some people getting out of work earlier in the afternoon. So we thought, you know, we'd throw a little traffic for you, especially... Wow, I like that. A little traffic horn. Very good. Checking the 511, that's 511wi.gov traffic around the state of Wisconsin. A few slowdowns for you, particularly for our listeners on WAUK in southeast Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and the suburbs. If you're traveling in the Milwaukee area, be aware that I-43 heading north from Milwaukee and 94 up to 190 in the Shorewood area, going slow right now. Then over on Highway 41 north and south, it is the northbound lane from just north of 94 up to around Mayfair area and just south of the crossroad at 190. That is headed north on 41. That is slow as well. And then further up on Highway 41, just south of 41, just south of the Woodman Food Market there, that is going slow as well. So basically, Highway 41, say from the Interstate 94 on up to alternate 41, that's going to be slow going there. And also 43, as expected this time of day, between I-94 and I-90 up in the Shorewood area, that is slow as well. Otherwise, most other major traffic areas and roads around the state of Wisconsin are on time for the most part. A couple of minor accidents on the sidelines here and there. And of course, this time of year, all roads are in good driving condition as well. Don't have to worry about snow anymore either. Trigvi Olsen joins us for hour number 2. How about Joseph Pecky, Trigvi? I thought he was fantastic, and I think he's the kind of guy that can continue on the work that Ben Wickler has done for the Democrats.
Yeah, I think he's terrific. And, you know, if Ben built the foundation, Joe is the guy to put the structure on the house. Mm. And, you know, he gets it, right? Mm. Like, he gets it.
No, he really does.
Here's the other thing. The David Hogg thing, instead of spending your money on Gwen Moore, put it into doing something constructive, like taking out Van Orden.
Right, that's right.
Exactly what Todd said.
Yeah, and for those who didn't join us last hour, we had Joseph Pecky, who's running for Democratic Party chair, now that Ben Wickler is not going to run again. And I brought up this thing we talked about on this show a couple of days ago. David Hogg, who's now the National Democratic Party vice chairman, got his claim to fame from being one of the survivors of the Parkland school shooting in Florida, which, of course, that's a tragedy and, you know, can't imagine living through that. He's kind of parlayed that into, as far as I know, the guy's never run a race, right? I don't think he's even run a state house race at all. But he's parlayed this into kind of a claim of fame amongst Democrats, and now he got himself elected vice chair of the Democratic Party. And over the weekend, he said that his personal super PAC is going to spend $20 million on primarying Democratic incumbents in safe House seats, and he's going to target those that he feels are too old or don't vote progressively enough. And I agree with you, Trigvi. I don't get it. I just don't get that strategy. And I agree with you. His organization would be much better off putting that $20 million, part of it, against guys like Derek Van Orten or other people that are just very, very extreme. So, look, we're not Democrats, so I guess that's up to them. I'm going to ask you this because I let Tom Hartman's on now before us. And I found this fascinating because Mark Pocan was on that show, a congressman here, the only other Democrat that represents Wisconsin, and was on Hartman's show today on the national show taking questions. And this is an order. I wrote this down as I was driving in. So the first caller was calling in to say that Democrats should lobby Republicans outside their district to have some courage and join and get Hakeem Jeffries elected speaker. And even Mark Pocan said, look, not so sure about that one, because if you try to leave a message or an email on my website, you have to enter in your zip code. And if you're not in my district, you can't even leave a message. So I'm not sure about that one. The second caller wanted to socialize airlines, thought the airlines in America should be owned by the government and not private companies. The next caller wanted Pocan to join I hadn't even heard of this, the Occupy the White House movement, a la January 6th, only going up against the White House instead of the Capitol. The next person was in favor of Head Start. I think that's a good one. And the final caller was advocating for the Bernie AOC ticket in 2028. Now, I get that that's a more liberal program than what we're doing here, but I just found it fascinating I appreciate Zepecki answering the question. I just don't understand how you can satisfy that faction of the Democratic Party that's in favor of all those things I just listed, and also kind of more traditional Democrats. It's a tough job. I wouldn't want it.
No, I mean, but that's any party chairman's having to deal with that, right? Like, but Democrats aren't losing elections because they're too progressive, right? Like, they won the state Supreme Court race because their base was energized, but they also won the state Supreme Court race because there were an awful lot of those people that voted for Tammy Baldwin and Donald Trump, mm-hmm. or skipped one or the other, who looked at Schimmel, looked at what Elon was doing, and just said, no, you know, Elon jumping around in a cheese head, not appealing.
Not so much.
And so Democrats should have to be really careful within the infrastructure not to fall into the same traps that Republicans did with not speaking truth when, you know, I mean, you and I, during the rise of the Tea Party movement, every Republican who was working in politics would have conversations with people and they'd be saying things and you're like, that's just not true, but you wouldn't correct them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt.
And, you know, that's not necessarily the role of state party chair, but like with what David Hogg is doing, that should be getting called out.
Yeah. And many, many Democrats.
And I get their frustration too, because like Chuck Schumer really looked weak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. But that said, the country, they don't want to admit that the country and the places like Wisconsin that decided are naturally ever so slightly right of center.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's going to be think there's going to be a major third party movement here before the next presidential election?
You know, there's so many obstacles to it, because if the two parties do one thing, it's they protect their own turf. And having been around the edges of Howard Schultz looking at it, it's a really hard thing. That said, if it's AOC versus Donald Trump running for a third term, I think there's a ton of space if somebody who had the resources and could appeal to that middle were to be the candidate.
Yeah.
I just throw his name out, you know, don't know him well or anything, but mm-hmm. like if a Mark Cuban were to say, I'm going to run as a fiscally conservative business guy who's socially tolerant, that would have a lot of appeal to a lot of people.
Yeah. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Ollie in the Northwoods. Ollie, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Hi. This isn't kind of with your thing that you were talking about, but I heard a little bit on Hartman where he was talking with someone who, and they were discussing how Trump was basically getting, like he got from all the rich people, all the donations for his inauguration. And then he talked a little bit about even on Sunday's egg roll, how like Apple donated and different companies had donated. Mm-hmm. And they were getting special compensations in ways like for tariffs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And my question is, I would like to see some kind of big protest in Washington D.C. on 4th of July, and also a silent protest where when they have the 4th of July celebration, people could wear certain colors or certain armbands or certain T-shirts and protest that way.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering how they actually, what's the funding that goes into that? Will the big businesses be paying for that, and thereby we're paying for
what, Ollie? I'm not sure what you mean.
Will they, you know, like when they have the big celebrations at the Capitol?
Oh, right.
On 4th of July.
Right.
You know, is that going to be a moment for Trump to also be collecting?
Well, sure. I mean, he wants to have a big, right. He wants to have, I appreciate the call, Ollie. Thanks so much. I mean, Trivi, I mean, we've seen this, you know, the Easter egg roll. I mean, a lot of different, you know, Paws and Target, all these, you know, Amazon were sponsors. And we've seen this, you know, Mark Zuckerberg gives $1 million to the Trump inauguration. And guess what? The tariffs don't apply to them. Apple does the same thing. It's pay for play. Am I wrong?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, there's a long tradition of things like the Easter egg roll, companies pitching in the money so that it's not taxpayers' money going to pay for the Easter egg roll. That said, what's different is, you know, Donald Trump is, it sure seems that the Trump administration is pay to play. And,
right. Yep.
And that is different.
Yeah, indeed. We're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, Jean's on the line. We'll take her phone call quickly. And then, a new clock throws me off. All right, Jean, let's go to Jean O'Clery. 855-752-4842. Jean, you got 45 seconds. It's all yours, my friend. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know if I could say it that fast, but I'll try.
All right.
Anyway, hey, great show, guys. This is wonderful. I got to say something on behalf of the young man that's chair of the Democratic, or, you know,
vice chair, David Hogg. Yep.
You know, he was in that shooting, and he went to the Capitol, and he was the one that was harassed by Marjorie Taylor Greene, following him around, harassing him, yelling at these kids who watched their classmates get slaughtered. Well, you know, it's not really polite the way he's doing it. However, he really cares, and so I want to support all young people and their voices.
Would you?
And
I'm up against the clock, Gene. Would you be okay if David Hogg put in $5 million against Mark Pocan and Glenn Moore?
I would have something to say about that. Yes, I would. You know. Yeah. You know. Okay. I get what you're saying. The money.
Right.
The money.
So I appreciate the call, Gene. Up against the clock. Come on back. What's Worse is next on Civic Media's Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I have a sad story to tell you. It may hurt your feelings a bit. Last night when I walked into my bathroom, I stepped in a big pile of shaving cream. Be nice and clean, Shave every day and you'll always look keen.
Welcome back to the Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now past the hour of 3 o'clock. Trivi Olson joins us from our nation's capital. Zommers, that's a triggering song for me.
I guess I know that. I should not do that.
The short version is back years ago in high school, I worked at WRCO Richland Center, now part of Civic Media. My colleague, Phil Nee, who still has the great show, Those Were the Days, every Saturday night from 6 until midnight, played that song. It's called Shaving Cream. And our owner, Pete Athanas, came back. And in those days, everybody smoked, or at least Pete did. And he came back and he goes, say, I was driving back from Madison and Todd played this song. And he knew what they were going to say. And Phil says, what a guy, Phil Nee. He goes,
took a bullet for you.
That was me. He goes, you played it. Never again. So I never played that song. But Phil, all right, time once again. Here we go for What's Worse. Let's go. Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money involved, nothing to give away, but it is your chance to have your voice heard across all 11 stations in the Civic Media News Sports Talk Network. Glad to have you along. Trigvi Olson stayed around for this. It's a great category today. Category today, timely, timely indeed. What's worse, shaving or flossing? Thus the song that Zommers played. What's worse, shaving or flossing? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, shaving or flossing? You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Trigvi Olson, shaving or flossing? What's worse?
Flossing.
didn't even think about it.
But well, it's more important than shaving.
Well, yeah, I think that's probably true.
That is definitely true.
Right? Now, are you one, when you go to the dental hygienist, and, you know, they'll say, well, you really should floss every time, you know, you really should floss more. Are you a pretty frequent flosser?
I am a pretty frequent flosser, but I am not a fan of flossing at all.
You don't like it, but you do. All right.
Yeah, you just kind of have to. I'm less a fan of shaving in a way, but flossing you have to do.
Well, right? You and I both wear beards sort of most of the time. I've worn a beard for the last 2 years or over, plus 3 years probably.
Incidentally, I'm terrified of dentists.
Are you really? I have a great
dentist.
I had
a really bad experience. Oh. I broke my front tooth playing hockey. And
surprise,
bad.
Surprise. Chris, listening on WRCE in Blue River, says shaving is worse. I floss every day, shaving only where I absolutely have to. Casper, one of our great engineers here in Madison on MDX, says shaving. Ouch, I have sensitive skin. I didn't know that about Casper. He has sensitive skin.
I didn't know that either.
Such a snowflake.
Cam in Appleton says shaving. I don't have to floss my rear end. Does he shave his rear end?
Presumably.
I don't get the point of that one. Christy, listening on WCFW, the tap in Eau Claire, says flossing is worse. You have to stick your fingers in your mouth.
Okay. I have to ask a question about this. How do you do that? How do you floss using actual floss? I only use floss picks because I could not.
You wrap it around your finger. Then you go one finger kind of inside your mouth and one on the outside. You go back and forth.
I don't know. I never got the hang of that. Really? I was like, this is so weird. And I don't think I have ever successfully flossed with normal floss.
All right.
Well, in our day, Zommers, we didn't have your fancy floss picks. We were lucky to have fishing line to use to pick our teeth.
Back in our day, we killed a deer and used the tendon as a piece of floss, and we liked it that way. What's worse, shaving or flossing? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Matt in Middleton on MDX says shaving is worse as I'm still learning to work my beard facial hair and it takes some effort as flossing is easy. Chris listening on WMDX in Madison says flossing way worse. Shaving is ritualistic, almost cathartic. But flossing is intrusive and a chore. And while important, the results of flossing aren't as noticeable as shaving is. Well, that's a good point. Casper says back to Trigby, get off my lawn, Trigby. That's fantastic. Megan that's in so Sun good. Prairie on WMDX says shaving is worse. It's way more time consuming than flossing. And if I don't floss, only the dentist notices. Not shaving often enough is uncomfortable. All right. Tyler up in Columbia County on MDX says shaving is worse. Water flossers work well with how my teeth are. Plus, the pre-made flossers take the pain out. Well, there you go. To Zomer's point, I use both. I use the floss pick, and I also use the regular old floss line, or whatever to call it. Zomers, what's worse, flossing or shaving?
Shaving. I'm never going to cut myself flossing.
I would say flossing is probably worse. Just because it takes time to get in there and do it right. Or shaving is pretty straightforward for me. Trigby, did you have a definitive answer?
I did.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. That's right. We started out that way.
Seems like the audience is pretty split on this one, too.
Yeah, it's a split. All right, well, come on back. We'll have another edition of What's Worse tomorrow here in the new time slot. Trigby, we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the draft, my friend. You think it's going to be a wide receiver
Thanks.
In the first round?
I know. I might have to call in on Friday, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know. We'll see. We could have a little review.
Brady Ewing's going to be here, I think, on Friday, former NFL player, talking about that. So should be a good time.
He'll probably be picking Wisconsin to beat Alabama again next year, too.
Trivia Olson, everybody. Appreciate it, my friend. Stay tuned. Matt Solomon is next on the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live. Come on back.
Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always look keen.
Saturday Night Live with Michael Che.
Welcome back to the Todd Lowell Show. I wish it were Saturday Night Live. Sorry to disappoint you. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock on the Civic Media Radio Network here on a Wednesday. Going to get to a little bit of SNL reflection in a moment, but at 35 past the hour. Quick update for you on Wisconsin roadways. One major accident to report to you, particularly for our listeners at WBZH up in Hayward. If you were looking to go on Highway 27 out of Hayward North, find an alternative route. Wisconsin DOT reporting at this hour that Wisconsin 27 north of Camp Eastmore Road, all lanes are now blocked and closed due to a crash there. So again, this is north of Hayward on Highway 27. Both north and south lanes, the road is completely shut down due to a major crash there on Highway 27. North of Hayward. On the opposite end of the state, there are several slowdowns right now, kind of basically normal drive time traffic for this afternoon in the greater Milwaukee area. Highway 41 north and south right now, north of Interstate 94. That is going slow right now. And also, as we zoom in here, I-43 going south as well towards from Shorewood down to Milwaukee. That is pretty slow going right now as well. We'll keep you up to date on any other major accidents that become available due to the 511WI.gov site. 36 now past 3 o'clock. We are pleased to have our next guest back on the show. He is from the great publication of Cracked.com. He is Matt Solomon. Matt, thanks for coming back on. How you been?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. It's great to have you on. Our music, our intro music there was the theme of Saturday Night Live, celebrating the 50th anniversary thereof, and being 55 myself, I remember some of the earlier episodes. My mom and dad watched it a lot in the 70s, And I'm not sure why they let a kid up that late once in a while on Saturday. But I remember John Belushi and, Gilda Radner and some of those early people. Then later on, Steve Martin. And then kind of my prime viewing for me personally of Saturday Night Live, the era that I probably is fixed in my head the most, kind of the Dana Carvey years. I mean, those were really, really sure. Well written. But, you know, guys earlier like Chevy Chase, of course. He was only on, what, for one season? Chevy Chase or more than
one season. Well, he was on a couple episodes of season two, but essentially a one and done.
But I mean, still, you know, his imitation of President Ford and the Weekend Update and things. But so many iconic memories for guys and gals my age. And I guess now as we are here at the 50th anniversary, one of the questions is, A, is the show relevant? And B, how is it held up and how is the 50th anniversary going? And here to talk about all of that, because you've written this great column at crack.com.
You know, when you were talking about the Dana Carvey cast was kind of your cast, there's a cliche about SNL that everyone's favorite cast is the cast that was on when they were about 12, 13, 14 years old. Those were the glory days for everyone.
Right.
is, you know, to your point about, is the show relevant? Mm-hmm. It still makes a lot of money for NBC. It still gets some of the best ratings in late night. It's still like, they had the Webby Awards yesterday, I think, and SNL cleaned up at the Webby Awards for all the stuff they do on social media and TikTok. And so I don't think it's as relevant as it's ever been. But man, the people, I think any show that lasts 50 years right. is relevant to me, and just in terms of longevity. It's not the star maker that it used to be, for sure. But I think in a fractured media environment, it's about as relevant as anything can be, I think.
Let's talk a bit about Lorne Michaels, the executive producer of the of the show. Talk about relevant and star maker. I mean, not only has he overseen this show for the majority of its 50 years, But here's a guy who from, you know, Wisconsin's own Chris Farley, and you could go right down the list from there, David Spade, other people went on to either television or movie careers that were due in large part to Lorne Michaels.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why he can, when we talk about being relevant, that's right. why he continues to have the influence that he does, because he's been a kingmaker for 50 years. I mean, even the guys that you've talked about, so the Belushi and the Chevy Chase and the David Spades and the Chris Farleys, those are all 20th century people. But, right. you know, in this century, the Bill Haders and the Tina Fey's and the Will Ferrells and Kristen Wiggs, it's just remarkable, you know, and then he's, you know, got this farm system now where he's completely taken over late night and, right. and Jimmy yes. Fallon moves right. from SNL into the Tonight Show spot, and Seth Meyers moves from Weekend Update into the Late Show spot. He's got a big footprint and he has a lot of influence. He knows, I think if you're, how can you be a 40-year-old NBC executive and not look at this guy and be like, geez, this guy's been anointing people since well before I was born. Mm-hmm. But you know, to that point, he's also, 80-ish, and this, you know, I don't know how much longer it can go on.
Who's the heir apparent, you think?
You know, the funny thing is about this time last year, he was making noise like, I'm going to get to the party. I'm going to stay on until I get to that SNL 50 party. And then I'm going to get on my horse and ride off into the sunset. And the closer it got, I think the more he was like, geez, this is, I get a good table.
Right.
When I go to the right. nice restaurant, and you know, all of a sudden he's not so ready to let go of the reins. He seemed to have anointed Tina Fey last year, and to me, there's two people that make sense. It's Tina Fey and Seth Meyers. Mm-hmm. They've both were head writers on the show. They both were performers on the show, and they both have run their own shows that were extremely successful. Seth Meyers executive producing his late night show, and Tina Fey with 30 Rock and all of her ancillary other things. They're just the trifecta of people that the current cast would respect because they killed it as performers. They were amazing writers and they've been amazing producers. So those are the only two names to me that check all the boxes and are also still young enough that you're not turning over the keys to somebody that you're going to have to replace 10 years down the line anyway. So if I were going to go on one of the online betting sites that we can't use here in the state of Wisconsin, my money would be on Tina Fey, but we'll see.
We'll see. I get the sense he's got at least one more year in him. I don't think he's ready to step down, but I don't know. I mean, did you watch? Go ahead.
Yeah, I thought he was ready to step down, but man, everyone inside that building is like, nope, he's kind of settled into that chair, and yeah. he's not ready to go. He's going to keep munching that popcorn at his desk for.
Did you? Well, I'm sure you did, but I watched the 50th anniversary special, the primetime special, whatever for SNL. And I have to tell
you, the 3.5 hours.
Yes, I did watch all of it, and I went into it with trepidation because I'm like, is this going to be a little cringeworthy?
Yeah.
What's your take? Because I thought, wow, that was actually more well done than I thought it might be.
It was just an impossible job, right? To create a show that's going to appeal to, you know, man, at least four generations of fans. I thought the show went about as well as it could have, although I am just astounded by the fact that apparently afterwards everybody said we never rehearsed. Yeah. We didn't have one rehearsal for it. And I think part of that was, I'm sure, was the logistics of all of the people that they had, you know, the biggest comedy stars of the past 50 years, getting them all in the building early and putting them through their paces was probably, on the one hand, just a logistical nightmare. On the other hand, I would have been scared to death to do some of these. You know, there was the big John Mulaney musical number where they're going out to people in the bleachers, and they're singing huge production numbers that they were doing for the first time in front of, not only in front of a live audience, but the first time they were doing it with each other. Mm-hmm. That's unbelievable to me. That would have been so frightening. I think all things considered, I think it was kind of a miracle, honestly. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it was I don't hold it up as like some example of like, this is the best comedy that America has produced in the last 50 years. But I think that it came off as well as it did. It was an accomplishment, and it was probably representative of the raggedy show that it's been from the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's never been a top to bottom great show. And from whatever glory days that people think they remember, it was always two or three great sketches. And
exactly.
Kind of a mess.
Right. And then, the rest of it, like, you don't, it's just like, the rest of it was whatever. But there's always these couple of highlights that stick out throughout the hour. We're talking with Matt Solomon from crack.com on the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live. Matt, let's talk about this 50th season now. This is pretty recent, from a couple of weeks ago or so. They did a sketch spoofing both White Lotus, the big popular streaming show, and also it was called, the sketch was White POTUS, and it went after the Trump administration, and it put Trump family characters in the White Lotus characters, and explain what happened there, because it was pretty controversial, at least for a couple of days.
It was okay. You know what? And I'm going to tie this into your relevance question that we started off here. The weirdest thing to me about season 50 is these very small things that happen in a show that become a big entertainment story for 3, 4, or 5 days after the show runs. So the White POTUS was a parody of HBO's The White Lotus. There's an actress in that show, very attractive young actress named Amy Lou Wood, who has a little bit of an overbite, and Sarah Sherman, portrayed her in the parody, and she wore a massive set of chompers, big prosthetic teeth, and it hurt Amy Lou Wood's feelings, which, I mean, it wasn't especially nice, but there's certainly been crueler things that have been done on Saturday Night Live. But the day after the show, she went on her social media and said, basically, SNL was mean. And that started a firestorm on social media of people coming to either to the defense of Amy Lou Wood or people defending the right of comedy to poke fun at people, even if it's not especially kind. Cracked probably wrote 6-7 stories about it, because every time we thought we were done with it, something else would happen. There would be a story that Sarah Sherman sent her flowers, or that SNL apologized. No, SNL did not apologize after all. And the legs that those little incidents have on the show, people seem to talk about that more than they talk about the actual comedy.
And so we have to get a break up against the clock. But when we come back, I'll ask Matt, is this because of the relevance of Saturday Night Live, or is it because I'm holding my hand, these devices, that everything goes social, and that's why people are still talking about it? We're going to talk to Matt Solomon after this. It's SNL at 50. This is the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is 8 before the hour of 4 o'clock. Getting used to these new times. New time, new time clock, but it's all fine. Same old host, though. They haven't found anybody better. So stay tuned. Top of the hour, CBS, ABC News, followed by a check of weather and our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, and then the Maggie Dawn Show, which was normally in the time slot we're in now. Maggie Dawn coming up from 4 until 6, followed by our friend Pete Schwabba and the great program Nightlight Entertainment. And Maggie's show is great as well. They're all great. So Maggie after us, then Pete Schwabba. A quick traffic update. Again, Highway 27 north of Hayward for our WBZH listeners in the North Woods. Highway 27 north of Hayward closed in both directions right now due to a crash there. Also, some of the roadways around Milwaukee, normal drive time traffic delays as well. Right now, we're talking with Matt Solomon of Cracked.com on the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live. Matt, we appreciate your insight on this. We were talking about the 50th anniversary show proper this year. Talk a little bit about I love gossip. I love Hollywood gossip. And some people were talking not so much about the show, but who did come?
That was one of the things that was driving a lot of our interest on our site, was like, where was Dan Aykroyd? Mm-hmm. Where was Danny Carvey? Where was, why wasn't Chevy Chase on stage? Mm-hmm. Especially Dana Carvey was, he was almost like an honorary cast member in the early part of the season. He showed up like in 6 straight shows. And so for him not to be a no-show at the 50th was weird. Turns out he was sick. Dan Aykroyd seemed to want some sort of something that he wasn't given. And he used the occasion to promote his Crystal Head vodka on his social media. He kind of like live tweeted the show and like, hey, let's crack another vodka. Thanks to the great sketch on Saturday Night Live. It was very funny. So that was really interesting. It's just people, again,
which shows that people still care. People still care about these actors, these sketches and things like that. It's been a part of a lot of our lives for decades.
Well, I think especially that original cast, I think people were interested in seeing them. And then, like you said, Dana Carvey was part of if he's not on the Mount Rushmore of SNL, he's in the conversation for it. Especially with those, people weren't necessarily like, oh, where's Rob Schneider? Where's Chris Kattan? Right. But it was some of those bigger names. Both of those guys were in the audience as well.
855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Mark in Paradisac. Mark, if you can make it brief, you want to mention a couple of your favorite sketches on SNL over the years.
Yeah, there was Dan Aykroyd and Lorraine Newman, I think, Bass-O-Matic.
Bass-O-Matic.
And then there was one where it was one of their commercials where it shows these guys scooping water out of some inappropriate pool, and then it was goes to a guy sniffing at his lady's nape of her neck, and then turning his head, looking at the bottom of his shoe, and says, "You don't wear it because it's good. You wear it because it's French." And those ones just kind of stick with me for after all these years. I mean, because those ones are decades and decades ago. I mean, Bass-O-Matic just always, you know, whenever I catch a bass when I'm fishing, I think Bass-O-Matic. You know? That's a good bass. Yeah,
appreciate the call, Mark.
That is good bass. Aykroyd and Newman actually reprised that on the 40th anniversary show. They basically did that sketch as it was live on the 40th. So Aykroyd did get a chance to be part of celebrating his own legacy 10 years ago.
Couple of minutes left, Matt. One of the things that for me, as just a person who works in media that loves media, I'm still in awe that it's still a live show and they put this thing together on the fly right up until showtime. And just the production of it, to me, I just have great admiration and respect.
It's unbelievable. It will be interesting when Lorne retires because it costs a lot of money to do what you just described. They have literally a cast of thousands of people behind the scenes making wigs and costumes and sets. Costs $4 million an episode in a time when late night is cutting back their budgets. And you know, once Lorne goes, it'll be interesting to see if they're still allowed that. But you know, and tight budgets just make people more creative too. So it could be fun.
Yeah, it's been a great ride so far. April here. What, maybe another 3 or 4 episodes left at most before the end?
There's 3 left.
3 left.
There's 3 left. Quinta Brunson has been announced as the host for the next one. The other two have not been announced yet. I'll go to one of those online gambling sites and predict that Pedro Pascal is going to get the season ender.
But really? All right, Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, he shows up on all of the anniversary stuff. He's got Last of Us is back. He's got his Fantastic Four out this summer. It just makes sense to me. He just killed it the first time he hosted. That's my prediction. We'll see if it comes true.
All right. Well, very good. Matt Solomon.
I think he gets the cleanup spot.
We always appreciate you taking time for us. You can see all of Matt's work at cracked.com. And he's also a great author with our friend CP. So check those novels out as well. We appreciate you being here, Matt. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
You bet, Ted.
All right. Okay. Thanks so much, Matt. Matt Solomon from cracked.com. Mr. Zomers, great show today. We want to thank Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, Joe Zepecki of Zepecki Communications, who is a candidate for the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. And as we just heard, Matt Solomon there from cracked.com. Got through the first show of the new time slot, and we're still alive. How about that, Zomers?
It feels really weird, but we'll get used to it.
But here we are. It's almost 4 o'clock. Stay tuned. The news is next, followed by Maggie Dawn and the Maggie Dawn Show. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.